everyone. Dan Dillman here, bringing you a little of this, a little of that. Thank you for dialing in today to 101.5. We love to have you here. We want to entertain you, to give you information, and if you're not careful, we even might amuse you once in a while. Today's program is going to begin in Italy, in the city of Siena, in Tuscany. And to begin that, I have a quote here about Siena. It says, "For the Sienese life story, you're born, there's the polio, and then you die." Well, the polio is a horse race. I'm going to tell you about the horse race that has been run in this city since the Middle Ages. It's a race that is run twice each summer. And I'd like to devote the first part of today's program to the Polio di Siena. This is no doubt an iconic event. People who are not from Italy may not know of it, but certainly it is an event that is so passionately a part of the city of Siena that people come back to their hometown to just to see this horse race and hope that their horse wins. Well, this is Italy's world famous horse race, the Polio di Siena. It takes place twice every summer on July 2nd and then again on July 16th. The city's residents hurl themselves into the traditional revelry of this event with great abandon. In fact, there is no more important event in this place than the horse race. And while it's been on hold during the pandemic, it's going to be run now. Siena is divided into 17 neighborhoods. They're called contrati, of which 10 are selected by a drawing to vie for the coveted Polio banner and an all-important bragging rights for the rest of the year. Each competing contrata's horse is chosen randomly by lottery, and the neighborhood then adopts it, showering it with love, washing and grooming it, and keeping it in a 5-star stable. The contrati, each with its own parish church, fountain and square, are staunch rivals, and each contrata is represented by a mascot, one represented by a porcupine, one by a unicorn, one by a she-wolf, and so on. And each has a distinctive flag. Your host has been to Siena a number of times, and it is his favorite place to go in Italy. And during my visits, I've collected 6 or 8 of the neighborhood flags, which I take out and fly around the house every summer on July 2nd and in August on the 16th. Well, while the race itself lasts just 90 seconds, It's preceded by days of festivities. As the big day approaches, processions break out across the city, including one in which the famed and treasured Palio banner, featuring the Virgin Mary, to whom the race is dedicated, is held high as it's paraded to the cathedral. Locals belt out passionate good luck choruses. With the waving flags and the pounding drums, it all harkens back to medieval times when these rituals boosted morale before battle. The day before the race, you could join the crowd in the main square, which is called Il Campo, to see the jockeys. Mostly they're hired hands from out of town. Often they're from the island of Sardinia. And you can get to know their horses in a practice run called the Charge of the Carabinieri. At midnight, the streets are filled with eating, drinking, singing, and great camaraderie as neighborhoods gather to pump themselves up for the race. And on race day, bets are placed on which contrada will win and which will lose. Despite the shady behind-the-scenes dealing, and there is quite a bit of it, the horses are taken into their contrada's church to be blessed. "Go and return victorious," says the priest. This is considered a sign of luck if a horse leaves droppings in the church. And this has happened. Meanwhile, Il Campo has been converted into a racetrack. Clay is brought in and packed down to create the surface, while mattresses pad the walls of the surrounding buildings. The most treacherous spots are the sharp corners, where many a rider has bit the dust. The entire city of Siena packs into Il Campo. Bleacher and balcony seats are expensive, but it's free to join the masses, the sweating, crowded mass of people in the center in Il Campo. The well-connected people get to watch from the comfort of an apartment window. Friends gather there as people in these apartments share their residences, overlooking the race course for the best view of the events. These are the best seats in town, the most comfortable. And from these vantage points, you can watch as the square fills with pageantry unfolding, flags waving, and excitement building. Finally, it's time. A cart pulled by oxen carries the Palio banner into the arena. The crowd goes wild. As the starting places are announced, 10 snorting horses and their nervous riders line up to await the start. I should say that the riders are on their horses bareback. Silence takes over, and then they're off. And once the rope drops, there's one basic rule. There are no rules. No rules. The jockeys ride bareback while spectators go berserk. Life stops for these frantic 3 laps around Il Campo. And then it's over. The winner might be Lupa, the She-Wolf District, or Contrada. You would zip out into the street to join the ecstatic mobs that are coursing toward the cathedral. You'll never forget the crush and the tribal energy. Just standing in the street while celebrants coursed by is a memory that you will long cherish and never forget. There might be the happy shouts of Lupa, 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 as the horde thunders by, weeping with joy. At the cathedral, the crowd packs in the winning Contrada receives the beloved banner. They are champions until the next race. Seeing euphoria overcome members of the winning Contrada, if Lupa won, it would be Lupa's first win in 27 years. It's impossible for a tourist to really understand what this ritual race means to the people of Siena. Carrying their coveted palio banner high and hoisting their jockey to their shoulders, the contingent tumbles out of the cathedral and back into the streets where the celebrants continue on into the wee hours with their happiness and passionate celebration. Imagine 500 years of proud tradition still going strong, except for the couple of years of the pandemic. This is indeed an event to see. And if you'll wait for just a few moments, I'll be back. Don't go away. Stay tuned to 101.5. Entertainment, information, and amusement. And now we're going from the palio horse race to hurricanes or tropical storms. Experts are bracing for a busy hurricane season. They expect as many as 10 storms in the Atlantic this year. So buckle up if you're on the east coast of the U.S. or in the Florida Keys. The six-month Atlantic hurricane season began not long ago. And there is a lot to be careful of this year. As the hurricane season begins this year, there were two storms already brewing. The first one is called Alex. And in the paper this morning, it said that Alex was working its way up the eastern coast of the U.S. I should probably refer to Alex as tropical storm. Not sure today if it has reached hurricane intensity. One system is expected to develop near southeastern Mexico and western Cuba in this period, and the AccuWeather meteorologists say that the tropical feature could approach Florida and Bahamas over the coming weekend and early next week. And that early next week refers to this week, because I'm looking at a story that was published last week. If it becomes named a tropical storm, The name would be Alex, as I said. And beyond that, the next storm name is Bonnie, followed by Colin, and then Danielle, and then Earl. The second potential system is in the Atlantic, but has only a 10% chance of forming, according to the National Hurricane Center. The Atlantic hurricane season will end November 30th. This year, the Eastern Pacific hurricane season officially began May 15th. And one storm has formed, Hurricane Agatha. It crashed into southern Mexico on Monday last as a Category 2 hurricane with 105-mile-per-hour winds. The storm made history as the strongest hurricane recorded to come ashore in May during the Eastern Pacific hurricane season. But what's the long-range forecast for the season? The federal government expects yet another active Atlantic hurricane season to occur. As many as 10 hurricanes could form. An average season sees 7 hurricanes. Meteorologists from Colorado State University, among the nation's top hurricane forecasters, has predicted 9 hurricanes would form this year. If predictions prove accurate, this would be the 7th consecutive season with above average activity. Last year was an intense hurricane season. There were 21 named tropical storms and hurricanes. This was the third most for any hurricane season, behind 2020's record of 30 storms and the 28 storms that formed in 2005. A typical season sees 14 named storms. For the second year in a row, the entire list of names for the season was used up, from Tropical Storm Anna in May to Tropical Storm Wanda in November. It was a record 6th consecutive year of above normal activity. Now that the hurricane season has begun, a letter was written to Tom Skilling, the WGN meteorologist, weather forecaster. And this person says, what is the difference between a hurricane and a typhoon? And Tom answered him in this way. He said, hurricanes and typhoons are both names for tropical cyclones that reach a maximum sustained wind speed of 74 miles per hour or greater. The nomenclature is based on location. In the Atlantic and the Eastern Pacific Ocean, east of the international dateline, such storms are called hurricanes. In the Western Pacific, west of the international dateline, they are called typhoons. In the Bay of Bengal and the Indian Ocean, the storm is referred to as a cyclone. In Australia, hurricanes and dust devils are referred to as, here we are, willy willies. The Australians always have the amusing names for things. Typhoons can attain greater frequency and intensity due to the much greater expanse of warm water in the tropical Pacific. And so, just to emphasize the point, a disturbance whose winds have not reached 74 miles per hour is called a tropical storm. That is the speed of the storm which is required, 74 miles per hour. And the forecast rationale for this year is based on the fact that there is a warm sea surface in the Atlantic, but there is a La Nina pattern in the equatorial Pacific. And this usually brings weaker winds aloft over the Atlantic. Stronger disturbances moving westward from Africa, from Western Africa. So you might keep that in mind as we go farther into the season. We are not bothered by hurricanes in this area, obviously, but we can get the after effects deep into the U.S., the eastern part of the U.S., as they work their way onshore and begin to diminish. So, a busy hurricane season. I'll be right back. Enjoy the music. Don't go away. Have you ever taken a bike ride through Death Valley? Well, biking in Death Valley is like biking nowhere else, unless perhaps you've biked on the surface of Mars. You will see arid, treeless valley presenting a surreal spectacle, a mosaic of colors and sand and rock and crumbled lava contorted through the ages. It's possible as you bike the back roads that you'll run into ghost towns. Might visit Badwater, a ghost town, for example, which is the lowest point in the United States. You can explore Mesquite Flat, an enormous dune field. For the most part, your pedal pushing through this brooding prehistoric land will be in silent awe, and you'll be alone with your thoughts. Just a word about environment and a possible vacation. And then there's the question of the month. How can I prevent leg cramps in the middle of the night? Some people ask. This from the Consumer Report publication called On Health. About 40% of older adults experience leg or foot cramps, and the cause of yours may be unclear. But people take certain diuretics for high blood pressure, or those who inhale long-acting beta agonists for COPD and asthma are more likely to have them. If you're inactive, more movement in your day may help. So, can avoid alcohol and staying hydrated. If you take one of the drugs above, ask your doctor if you can switch to another. And with that, my friends, we're going to have to depart for this week. It's been very pleasant being with you, talking about the polio, talking about the tropical storms. We'll be back next week. Please don't forget to tune in 101.5 for a little of this, a little of that. Remember now, stay healthy, be safe, be kind to each other. And it's time for Willie and I to get together and go down that road again, looking for features that fit appropriately into a little of this, a little of that. Entertainment, information, and amusement from time to time. You take care now. Be good. See you next week. Bye-bye.